BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At California Closets, we design for the little things. Take this moment of a woman getting dressed for an early meeting while her husband's still asleep. And now, the California Closets version of that moment, featuring custom soft close drawers. Bedroom and home storage solutions by designers who get you. California Closets. More room for what matters.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
And a good Saturday morning to you on this holiday weekend. We are graced... I was going to say the studio. Well, I guess we are in the big studio in the sky. And it's none other than Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is gracing our big studio here. Actually, she's where she is, and we are where we are. But, Teresa, good to have you back on the radio. Always fun. And it's always interesting to open up the show and say, it's 30-some degrees. It's April and it's raining, but there's got to be a silver lining here. This moisture's got to be good for something, right?
This moisture is so good for our plants and our trees and our shrubs. And it's so far for us, it's been a fairly gentle moisture because the ground is thawing out. So that means don't be raking. Don't be stepping on that wet soil. Just let Mother Nature soak in all the goodness. And you just go back inside and have a cup of warm coffee or something because it's kind of cold.
So it's going to be greening up nicely, and I haven't paid it much attention, but would you say we had a pretty good winter as far as moisture content?
We did have a good winter, and the snow melted slow enough that some of it could sink in, so we were not seeing a lot of flooding, you know, the Red River Valley, et cetera, which is really, really nice. And now when you go out there, and I said, don't step on the ground, but if you haven't protected your tulips that are coming up or other little flowers that are coming up, you might want to put some rabbit fencing out because winter was nice to the rabbits, too, and there's a lot of them. And they will be eating all your flowers very soon.
Yeah. If you have, and we're getting a bunch of text messages already, but if you want to call in or text in your lawn or garden question, and you know how busy we tend to get this hour, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. All right, you'll have to help me with this one. Texter says, hi, I have a chameleon ZZ plant in a plastic pot that is being bottom watered using a wick and reverse osmosis water. Last week I saw a white fluffy mold on the bottom of the pot, the wick, and the water container below it. What should I do about that?
I would first of all, maybe just remove the white fluffy mold. That's always good. I'm a little worried that it might not be mold. It could be a mealybug or something, but they would migrate to your plant very quickly and then suck out the juices of your plant. So I would just wipe it off, maybe a little vinegar on a Q-tip or something like that, and just wipe the pot off and just watch for it. It sounds like you have a really good setup for the plant. ZZ plants are wonderful plants. They're very slow growing, but they're very hardy and very low maintenance for the most part. So you should be okay. But just double check that, maybe, you know, once a week, once a month, to see if that mold or that little fluffy stuff is coming back. But I would just take a little vinegar, and not that vinegar is going to kill mold, but to me it just sanitizes a little something, changes the pH of that surface for a little while, and that may help prevent the mold from coming back.
Vinegar is an amazing product.
Vinegar is wonderful. It really is. You know, it's an IPM situation, an integrated pest management, where you start with the lowest impact that you possibly can to see if that can change the situation, rather than going nuclear the first step out. Let's go as low impact as we possibly can and just pay attention and then see what we have to see after that.
Good advice. Teresa, let's grab a phone call. Chris checking in from Maple Plain this morning. Chris, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
Hey, good morning. Just a quick question. I have chives that are taking over my garden that I can't seem to get rid of. Any help would be great.
Oh my gosh, I would love that situation. So first of all, when you have chives where you want them, these are the shorter ones with the round the round leaves, not the flat leaves, which are garlic chives. When they flower, once the flowers start to fade, just pluck the flowers off, and those chives won't spread anymore. They don't spread by roots or stolons or runners. They only spread by seeds. Dig up the chives you don't want and offer them to neighbors. You can put them out on your front area, your driveway, your boulevard. Free chives, and I'm sure people will grab them. If you don't have jumping worms, if you have jumping worms, then just pull up the chives and toss them into your city compost. That would be the best thing to do. But yep, if you have a plant that likes to run over and is pretty aggressive via seeding, just deadhead the flowers, and 99 times out of 100, that will take care of your problem. And you can eat the flowers, you can eat the little buds before they come out, you could pickle those. They're delicious in salads. But if you're not into that, then just pluck off the flowers once they start to fade, because you want the pollinators to get in there for a little bit if you can, to give them some nectar and everything. But then just pluck off the flowers, because you don't need them to go to seed.
All right. You'll have to put on your detective cap, your Master Gardener detective cap, because here's one. I see leaves on the ground that look like flat bananas. What tree do they come from?
Oh, those are probably seed pods from a Kentucky coffee tree. If they're about 6 to 8 inches long, and they do look like flat brown banana leaves. They really do. And they probably won't start trees in your yard, but if you see them on the ground, you can just pick them up. They're just Kentucky coffee tree seed pods. If they're very, very, very long, then that is from, oh, and it's just escaping my mind now. I hate when it does that. it's from another big tree, a big shade tree that we have in our yard, and I'll spout it out sometime.
You'll think about it about
show.
3 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And I'll sit up and go, right. Denny, it's this tree. For some reason, I can never remember the name of that, and it's one of my favorite trees. It'll come back to me.
Teresa, in the meantime, let's grab another phone call. Eddie is phoning in from Invergrove Heights this morning. Eddie, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. I have two questions. The first one is it too early to do a soil test on my lawn?
No, do it right now. They're getting so excited over at the soil lab. Yes, do it right now. So as soon as you can get out there safely and dig into the soil, yes, do a soil test.
Did you have another question?
Yesterday, and they want to come out on Monday to spray my spring application. Is it too early?
For crabgrass?
Yes.
You cut out a little bit. I would think it would. Maybe question them a little bit. Are the soil temps at the 55 level already? You could even look online. What is the soil temperature in my zip code, and then put in your zip code, and it will bring you to an area. The companies, the lawn care companies, they have schedules, they have customers they have to service. So, and this is nothing against them, it's just a matter of they have to do what they have to do when they have to, and sometimes it's not always the correct timing. So in this case, I don't know that the soils are warm enough yet to worry about crabgrass sprouting. And that's what you're looking for, to get it on there just before the crabgrass sprouts. So I would, you know, double check, go online, what is the soil temp in my yard at zip code, blah, 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 and then see what it is. And it's probably about 45 degrees, 40 degrees. So then I would ask them, can you put it out 2 weeks or 3 weeks and okay. see? And maybe they can't. Maybe they just can't. And maybe you skip it this time and you do it yourself at the correct time.
Very good. Well, you're getting some help from listeners. Is it a catalpa tree?
That's what it is. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, people. My brain cells weren't working yet.
As you know, we have such smart listeners.
We have smart listeners. And thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Let's take a quick break, Teresa. We have more questions to get answered here on this Smart Garden Show. You can call Teresa, like folks like to do, or you can send a text, 651-461-9226. Let's see. Temperature reading in the Twin Cities this holiday weekend. Light drizzle, fog and mist. It's 34 degrees. We might hit 39 today as far as Easter Sunday tomorrow. Maybe we'll see peaks of sunshine, a little chance of showers, too. But we'll get up to about 49 degrees. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long back with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your texts, your phone calls, any kind of a lawn or garden question, you know the number. 651-461-9226. Teresa, I'm looking at a text that came in a bit ago. Texter says, I blew off all the leaves off my hostas this week. Should they be peeking through?
No. The hostas always seem to come up a little later than I think they should, and because I'm the boss of everything, I guess. But no, it's still a little too early for them. They're just under the ground. But you may want to just put up some protection if you do have deer and rabbits, because they will be peeking up probably in about another 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks, depending upon where they are in your yard and how much sun we get. So then you'll start to see them. But they always seem a little slow, then all of a sudden, bing, they're there. It's just like they kind of play hide and seek under the ground. But nope, they're okay.
All right, good. You had mentioned crabgrass. Texter wants to know, what's the ideal temp to apply crabgrass prevention granules?
I seem to remember it's 55 degrees. I will double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's around that time. Normally, like when the lilacs are blooming and a lot more stuff is growing in the yard, and it really depends where in your yard. So you have to think about, is it a shady area or a sunny area? Is it right next to the sidewalk? That will warm up a lot faster than in the center of your yard. If you have sandy soil, that warms up faster. If you have clay soil, it takes a little longer. We get a lot of cold rain? That slows down the heating up of our yard, too, because the sun also then has to heat up all that moisture that's in the soil. Or if you have, like, northern Minnesota, you know, another 12 feet of snow today. Lucky you guys. So,
as far as a chemical, there was a two-part question as far as the crabgrass. Is there a chemical you recommend for the pre-emergent? I don't think you recommend a certain chemical, but read the label, right?
Read the label, and it'll say crabgrass preventer. So you want to get it down before the crabgrass seeds start to sprout. And this also stops other seeds from sprouting so that you can't overseed your grass seed at that time. If you're going to use crabgrass preventer, your crabgrass preventer lasts about 2 to 3 months. So that means you will not be able to seed grass seed in that area for 2 to 3 months either. It impacts the germination of all seeds. If you have dandelions in there now, or you have creeping Charlie in there now, it's not going to touch dandelions or creeping Charlie because they're already growing. They already have roots. But if there's seeds out there, it will stop seeds from sprouting.
Okay, good point. When can I uncover my strawberries? Listener wants to know.
You know, I'd maybe wait until maybe like next weekend. I think we're past most of the frost. Now we're going to get, you know, 22 degrees tomorrow or something. No, that's not going to happen. But and then just be prepared to cover them or put something lightly over them if we're going to get a hard frost, which I kind of don't anticipate, but I'm not the weather person, so I don't know. But you can gently pull back the leaves whenever, like any time from now on, depending upon where you are in the state. If you're still up north, you've got a lot of snow, don't uncover your strawberries yet. So just once you start seeing some other stuff growing, you can start uncovering your strawberries.
You had mentioned those critters, the rabbits.
Yeah.
And a listener wants to know, is there a good product to deter the rabbits from eating those plants?
A barrier, just a physical barrier. That's the best thing you can do, is just put up fencing, cover them with floating row covers, the polyspun white fabric if you can for your greens and things like that. Anything you put on plants that you might want to eat those plants, make sure it's an edible repellent, but the repellents will wash off easily. They fade. The bunnies get used to those repellents, so you have to keep changing them up every 2 to 3 weeks. One time you maybe put a foul smelling one like eggs, and then the next time it's agaric, and then maybe next time it's a chemical smell, and then you just keep rotating them through. But rabbits are pretty sneaky, so the best thing is just to put up a fencing until you can get other things up and growing that the rabbits will want to eat instead. And then if you are planting anything outside, plant and put up your fencing immediately, because once the rabbits or any of the deer, they know there's something there, they are going to find a way to get to it. So if you can just, you know, nothing to see here, nothing to see here, no, don't look somewhere else. That helps a lot. Overseed your lawn with clover, and understand that then you can't use weed killers, broadleaf weed killers on your lawn. But clover is one of their favorite foods, and it comes up fairly early. So that's a good way to get them to eat something somewhere else in your yard, if possible.
Good for the bees, too.
Very good for the bees, yes.
Yeah.
And good for our soil. It's a nitrogen fixer,
nitrogen,
so it actually feeds its neighbor grass. So,
all right. Let's go back to the phones. Mary calling in from Crystal. Good morning, Mary. What is your question, please?
Good morning. I'm sorry. It's Mary Lou, and I have a question about fertilizing perennials. Do they need it, or are we okay to leave them?
Mary Lou, that's a really good question. You can always get a soil test done. Most of the time, as humans, we're overwatering and overfeeding our plants just because we want to be nice to them and we think we're helping. Most of our native plants don't need fertilizing. If the plants look healthy and they're growing normally, you probably do not need to feed them. If you're just a little worried, maybe a feeding of a granular or something in the spring, as you start to see them come out of dormancy, that's a really good thing. And then that's all you have to do because they'll take care of that. But if you want to do something nice to your plants, you can always just top dress with a little compost. That helps add some nutrition into the soil, gets the soil healthier. And once the soil's nice and healthy, you probably don't have to fertilize your plants. Most of our trees and shrubs and perennials do not need fertilizing. But if you're in question, just if the plants are not doing well, do get a soil test, and that will be the first big thing to tell you what to do, and then go by what the recommendations are. Or if there's just something, they're not looking as healthy, they're looking very pale, they're not growing well, and you know they're in the right situation, one-time feeding of fertilizer first thing in the spring, and then just see how they go after that.
Very good. Thank you, Mary Lou. Hello,
thank you, Mary Lou.
Goodbye, huh? Okay, we need to take a break. Not too many people remember that song. We need to take a break for weather.
Oh, dear, I do.
Oh, you do. All right. Teresa, hang on. We'll look at that forecast, come back with more of our Smart Garden Show here on this Saturday from News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions we have. And, of course, Teresa, as usual, we have a bunch. What's going on at the Arboretum? We always like to find out. There's always something going on.
There's always something. And before we do that, I did double-check, and it is 55 degrees for soil temps to start to apply your crabgrass preventer.
Oh, 55.
If you miss
okay.
it, yep. So if that's your soil temperature, it's very little nothing to do with
to do
the air
with the
temperature.
Air temperature. Okay.
Yeah, so when we get 65 next week, yeah, that's not going to make our soil 65. So just so you know that. Oh, yeah, there's some stuff going on at the Arboretum. First of all, they will have Arbor Day celebrations on the 25th. So yay for Arbor Day. And they're also going to have a Bird Day on the 25th of April. You do have to sign up for that event. But there'll be lots of classes and things like that on about birds, because bird watching is second only to gardening for us weird American people. That's what we like to do. You do have to register. And then on May 8th and 9th in the Arboretum, we'll be having a plant sale. But for that person who was wondering what those Kentucky coffee tree seed pods were laying on the ground, they might want to either Google, what does a Kentucky coffee tree look like in the winter, or go out to the Arboretum and see what that is, and then they can find out where those pods actually came from in their neighborhood. So if they're so inclined, they might not be weird like me. But if they're so inclined. But yeah, it's a great time to get out to the Arboretum. Look at the stuff that's blooming. There's all kinds of little things out there, like the pasque flower and crocuses, and some of the snowdrops are blooming. There's just reticulated irises. Witch hazel, the spring witch hazel is blooming, the forsythia is blooming, snowdrops. So there's all different things you can look at. You can see what the gardens look like, what they look like at the very end of the season, and then before they get all beautiful and that. So there's a lot going on. Of course, they have beautiful art exhibits and things like that too.
Oh, they do.
Freedom. Yeah.
Yeah, and check it out online and get through.
Yep.
Once you visit there, you're going to want to head back. There's no
doubt. You're going to want to head back. And online, if we get any weird weather, snow or anything, just double check before you go to see if 3 Mile Drive is open or what's open. You could probably still even go out to the farm at the Arb and see what that looks like, and the Bee House or the Bee Place. I've renamed it the Bee Place. You're welcome, Arboretum. That's a professional word there. The bee lab out there is wonderful to look at, too. So there's a lot going on out there.
Check it out. University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. Is it a good time, Texter says, to start uncovering our gardens, or do beneficial insects still need that cover until the ground warms up?
You know, you can start pulling back things if you've mulched put down a winter mulch. You can start pulling that winter mulch back, and that will help when we do get the warmer temps for the sun to actually start hitting that soil and warming it up a little bit. Tender plants will come out if we're going to get a deep frost. You can always plop some of that mulch back again very quickly. But our insects are pretty hardy, so if you're pulling back mulch and you're going to throw it away, I shudder thinking about that. If it's just if you think there's things nesting in there or overwintering, like leaves and stuff, if you can just pile that somewhere in your yard, somewhere else, gently, and let them come out of dormancy when they're ready, and then your plants can still grow too. So if you're thinking I'm going to pull up everything and send it away for a green pickup or something, and you still want to do the pollinators, if you can give it a little way station for a little while, maybe toward the end of May, and then send it away, that will be best to get all those pollinators, let those eggs hatch, let those little critters come out, rather than sending it right away to the big compost.
All right. Got a text from Terry, who lives west of the Twin Cities, about 40 minutes. Terry's wondering, when can I fertilize my rhubarb and asparagus plants? Thank you, Terry.
You can fertilize them as soon as you start seeing them growing, and the rhubarb might already be showing little bits of greenery coming out there. So as soon as you start to see them growing, or you know they're going to pop in the next week or so, go ahead and put that fertilizer down. And you should be fine. You don't want to fertilize on frozen soil. You don't want to fertilize if the plants aren't going to be out of dormancy for another 2 months, because all the fertilizer will have washed away by then. But as soon as you start seeing activity in your plants, whether it's your perennials, your roses are starting to green up a little bit, or you see the buds, Then if you're going to fertilize, that's when you want to fertilize, because you don't feed sleeping plants. You want to feed them when they're starting to actively grow.
Okay. I'm looking at a text, the best plant that can be planted to hide a 40-foot fence 6 feet high. I saw flies eat the low branches of my evergreens, don't want to cut them down. So best plant that can be planted to hide a 40-foot fence 6 feet high.
Okay, so if you've already got the evergreens, I would leave them there. And then I would, if you can, depending upon how sunny it is, just out in front of those naked trunks that you're seeing, maybe plant some ornamental grasses. If it's a sunny area, they can stay up all winter and still kind of hide some of that from you. Or plant some short shrubs. That's hard to say. Short shrubs. If it's sunny, if it's shady, plant shady shrubs that might work out there for you, or some big hostas that could come up and cover those, that greenery. If you can, depending on what kind of fence it is, if you could put up some wires and you can run some clematis up those wires, that would be fine. And just attach the wire so the clematis has something to climb on the fence. You probably don't want to put anything out there that would sucker onto the fence as a vine, but clematis is very nice. It may not get to 40 feet, our native one would, but it dies to the ground every year, so you could do something like that. But if you can bring that interest down to the ground level and plant some very pretty flowers, your eye will stop and look at the flowers, and then they will be back by the evergreens that you still have up there, even if they have naked trunks. I know the bunnies pruned my arborvitae up 1 year for me, and that's not what look I was going for too. So I know what happens. But just planting some shrubs in front of that will be really nice, or some very flowery, some big bunches of flowers, a big group of the same kind of flowers. Even just the greenery would really be nice. Turtle head could be a possibility if it's a little shadier. So hopefully
that helps
with some ideas. Yeah.
A turtle head. My daughter has that. That's a great
Isn't that a cool plant? It's just so cool. And then in the fall, I like to watch the bees try to get in there because they have to work so hard to get in. You see the little bee butt sticking out and they're trying to get into the pond. Okay, again, I digress. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
but
great.
Yeah.
It is a great plant. Great shrub.
It is.
I'm looking at a text, Teresa, that says this. My jasmine tree has been fine all winter until I brought in a new spring bulb mix, apparently with aphids. Oh. Leaves started dropping off my jasmine. How can I prevent these bugs from attacking it? They don't attack any other plants in my house.
Well, it could be because your jasmine looks good, but she's getting kind of stressed because I really want more light than what's in this house, is what the plant is thinking. So wash the jasmine plant gently with plain water. That will wash off a lot of the aphids. And then if you continually get an infestation, you can spray it with an indoor plant soap, and that would be good. Not a degreaser, but you want to use an indoor plant. I would probably purchase it on over at the garden center or something like that. Just tell them that the jasmine's got aphids and I need a plant spray that will work on that. Use that. And if you can't keep the other where you think the infestation came from, keep that farther away. That would be helpful too. But just simply washing them off down into the shower will work really well, too. So hopefully.
Okay.
And go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and it will tell you how to treat insects that you're finding on your houseplants. Because now, in the spring, you know, once we get past January, till we can actually get those houseplants outside or get more light in our house, it's a really stressful time for the plants, for the houseplants. They would like more light than we're giving them, and they're kind of stressed now.
We had, as you know, a caller about chives earlier in the show, and I'm not sure if this is the same, but a texter says, how do we get rid of, quote, garlic chives that have spread all over? Same situation?
Yep. pretty much the same situation. The garlic chives have flat leaves. They get a little taller. The regular chives have round leaves, and they're like little mounds, and they get pink flowers. The garlic chives get a little taller, maybe 1 to 2 feet tall, and they have white flowers. So as soon as you start to see those flowers die, go ahead and deadhead all of your garlic chives or all of your pink regular chives, and you will not have them escaping all over your yard, because I know that garlic chives are extremely aggressive at self-seeding. You know, eat your garlic chives, that helps too, but the best thing to do is just to deadhead and not let them go to seed. You can really stop a lot of plants from moving around your garden if you just deadhead them before they can go to seed. That does mean, though, that the birds can't take the seeds and things like that, but you have to do what you have to do to keep your yard where you want your yard.
Very good. We talked about soil temperature. And before we break, I'm just looking at a text that says this: use your meat thermometer to check the soil temp. Just don't tell your wife.
No. Wait a minute. No, this.
So that
is
works,
when,
huh? That
this
works.
Is it, the meat thermometer works. This is when you gift yourself a brand new meat thermometer to use in the garden, or you gift your wife a brand new meat thermometer to use in the kitchen. Two separate thermometers. You can use
Keep
the same
separate.
Brand. Don't cross use. No cross using out there, please.
All right. Multitasking.
So if you did that, just take the one that you used and present your spouse with a brand new one for the kitchen. And they don't have to know what happened
Excellent.
To the other one.
All right, Teresa, hang on. We're due for a quick break and be back on the other side. We have more text questions to get answered here on Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Just a reminder, coming along next hour, Andy Lindis will be joining us for another hour of Home Improvement Talk. If you have any particular home improvement questions, you can ask them of Andy next hour here on CCO. In the meantime, talking lawns and gardens on this Smart Garden holiday weekend, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney with us today. Here's another text for you, Teresa. How can I get moss out of my bocce court and stop it from coming back?
So what you want to think about is moss is there. It's a plant that likes low fertile soil. So it's a soil with very low fertility because other plants can't live there. So the moss lives there. Compacted soil, soil that stays damp. It doesn't get too sunny, although I have seen moss in full sun in many places. So if you can change any of those conditions, make it less humid in that area, less water drainage in that area. You probably don't want to add fertility to the soil because I'm not sure what you're growing on. If it's grass, then maybe just, you know, you can fertilize the grass as needed. You can also use a moss and algae killer out there. I hesitate to suggest that because if you don't change the situation, it's just going to come back again. Just physically removing the moss will work too, and you can toss it in the compost bin and then overseed with grass seed if that's what you're growing on the court there. I'm not sure what kind of base you use for that. I think it's grass, but I'm not sure.
Okay. This listener cut down about 30 very skinny, very tall buckthorn at our new house last fall. What would you recommend to prevent the little stumps from regenerating?
I would just watch them. If you start to see new shoots come up, cut them. You can also place coffee cans over or metal cans over the cut down stumps. Any little shoots that come up will come up under the coffee can perhaps, and then they don't get light, so they will eventually die off. You'll have to keep it. Once you've made the cut, though, if you wanted to put down a poison, you had to make a fresh cut on fresh wood and then put down an herbicide. But that's too late because you need to do it within like 15 minutes of making the cut. And the stump hopefully now is dead, so that won't work for you. So it's just a matter of covering up those stumps if you possibly can, and then just taking out the little saplings, the little things that will come up from the roots. And because they were probably pretty big. They might have a big root system, so you may see a lot of them pushing up new stems from their root system. Just keep cutting those stems off at ground level if you possibly can, and eventually you will take all of the energy from those roots, and then the roots will die.
Okay.
You can also go to the extension website on how to deal with buckthorn. That will give you also ideas of what you can plant after, because you don't want to leave that soil just sitting out there, because there's a lot of buckthorn seeds in that soil. And so you don't want to be tilling it up and reinvigorating all those seeds to sprout. So it will give you ideas about how to take care of that. And that's extension.umn.edu. And thank you for getting rid of your buckthorn.
Yes, and that's it. I'm glad you brought up the website. We always like to talk about that because it is such a great resource. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't get the, maybe some questions answered on the show, you might get answered on that website.
You might. And if you have to talk to a master gardener over the emails, you can also find Ask a Master Gardener right on that front page. And then you can send information or questions to a master gardener online if you can't find one in person or hear one on Smart Gardening.
extension.umn.edu.
Very good. Yep.
Texter wants to know, can I still trim some dead wood on a birch tree?
Yes, dead is dead. It's never coming back. Take it out. You don't want it, because we're going to get some winds, you know, and some storms during the season. So you don't want that branch to break and break other branches. Just take out the dead wood right away. That's a good idea.
Okay. This listener would like to use an organic corn gluten fertilizer weed preventer 800. Do you have experience with that, and does it work?
I don't have experience with it, but I do know that the corn gluten meal, it inhibits, it's kind of like, think of it as a crabgrass preventer. It's not that, but what it does is it impacts the germination of the seeds, and it does take a number of years to build up in the soil to actually get strong enough to impact those seeds. So you'd have to use it like 3 years in a row. That means also then if you try to plant seeds in that area, you're going to have a harder time doing that. It works, but it's not as efficient as we thought it was. It does work a little bit, but it is more of a seed germination slower downer preventer, which is really technical terms. I'm sorry about that. But that's how it works. So it doesn't actually kill the dandelions that you already have or the creeping Charlie that you already have, but it will impact how seeds germinate in that area. And it does build up over a few years, so you get better impact and better results over a few years of using it.
Teresa, a couple of dog questions, one in the home and one outside. My dog, Texter says, likes to dig in the dirt in my house plants. Is there something I can put in the soil or on the pot to discourage it?
You could try, there are some smells dogs don't like. I don't know how bad they would be in the house. Some repellents. You could try something like that. Otherwise, just if you have houseplants, maybe put down some pebbles like the river rock you might have outside. If you have some river rock outside, pull some of that mulch up, wash it really well before you bring it in the house, and then use that as a decorative soil cover over those plants. You can also put down things like, if it was a cat, I'd say maybe tin foil, but a dog, even just some chicken wire over that area, the plant just around it won't look the best. So the rocks might be a better option there, or a repellent if you know that there's a smell that they don't like. If there's a certain, I don't know, peppermint or something, and I'm just throwing that out there. I don't think peppermint would do it, because dogs would like to eat that. But whatever repellent you put in, just think about how it's going to make your house smell also.
How about fixing the yellow spots in the yard where the dog went?
That's a good question. That's basically your dog has over-fertilized that area. If you have a female dog that's doing that, if you can have her relieve herself in one special area and maybe just mulch that area. If that's not possible, as soon as she urinates, then maybe wet that area really well and kind of flush it out. That who's going to carry it? Who's going to run a hose around with Mabel outside peeing all over everything. So the easiest thing to do then is once you get those spots, just dig up the grass, dig up a little soil, put down a little fresh soil or compost and reseed that area. You can use those mulches that have seeds embedded in them. Sometimes that helps. Dogs and grass aren't a really good combination. And if you have a boy dog who's peeing on everything, if you can set up a pee post for him, and that's where he pees all the time, that's helpful, and put mulch around that too. Or if you have them peeing on things that you don't want them to, if you can put a fence out maybe 12 inches away from that area and maybe a foot or two high so that they can't, they lift their legs and they'll pee on the fence, but then they can't get to the flowers or the kids' toys or whatever they're peeing on. It's just their natural what they're going to do, what they're going to do. You can also make an area in your yard where that's where the puppies relieve themselves, depending male or female, however, and you bring them there and you teach them that's where you relieve yourself and defecate and everything else, and then reward them if they react with treats or play or whatever, and that's their area for relieving themselves. And yes, I think you can try to treat dogs. Teach old dogs new tricks.
New tricks. All right. Well, on that note,
can I mention one thing? I'm really fast.
We have about 20 seconds.
Okay. Just if you have Easter lilies in your house, they're deadly poisonous to your kitties, so be careful.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
A good point. Well,
extension.
Happy Easter, Teresa.
UMN.edu.
Yes.
Happy holidays to everyone.
Yes. Thank you, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. I know we'll be talking soon. Yeah, get on the website, extension.umn.edu. Thanks again, Teresa.
Thank you. Bye.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Auto Trader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on Auto Trader. Really?
Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store or Lowe's.com for more details.
Time to go back to school with Famous Footwear.
Why does it always sneak up on us?
Famous to the rescue.
They've got all the best brands at the best prices.
And BOGO. Buy one pair of shoes, get one half off. Shop in store to get $10 to spend this fall. Some exclusions apply.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
When your day moves fast, between getting everyone out the door, meal prepping, and trying to find a small moment for yourself, the products you use should make things easier, not harder. That's where Ello comes in. Ello makes thoughtfully designed water bottles, tumblers, and glass food storage containers that fit right into your life, making hydration and storing meals easy, even on your busiest days. Visit elloproducts.com and use code TRYELLO20 for 20% off your first purchase. That's ELLOproducts.com, code TRYELLO20.